Good morning. If you're joining us this morning, we have a special Sunday where we will be deviating from our normal rhythms because we have our C3YA crew has come back from a mission trip in Mexico. And so we're going to hear story and testimony of the ways that God impacted their lives and also see what he did while they were in Mexico. Now, one of my hopes with this as a church, as we hear testimonies, is for us to consider what our missional identity is as a church, but specifically for each of us to consider what is our missional identity? What does it mean every day in every rhythm to live intentionally for the spread of the gospel? I want to start this morning by just reading Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, we see the beginning of the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we see this picture of where they're to start and where they're to go as they begin to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Here's what we have. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. One of the reasons I like Acts 1:8 is because you see this focal point for the apostles, that they're starting in the city that they're in Jerusalem. And then the gospel goes and the gospel spreads to the regions around them and then to the ends of the earth. And so this morning as we hear testimony, my hope and my heart would be that we as a church individually would consider those whom God has put in our lives, whether that be in our neighborhoods, in our grocery stores, in daily rhythms, in our workplace, and consider what does it mean to live my life leveraging my life for the spread of the gospel. And here's my heartbeat and my hope for our church. And this is from all of our elders. We hope and we pray that we would be intentional every day in every rhythm to truly care about seeing people come to know Christ. And then we hope and we pray that we would raise people up and we would send them cross cultural barriers for the spread of the gospel. That's what we hope. And so this morning, as we hear testimonies of a team that prepared and went for a short-term trip, I hope and I pray that we would have many more of those, partnering alongside long-term missionaries, and that we would potentially, hopefully see many raised up and sent out for the spread of the gospel in our church and our community. Now, when we think about our mission as a church, we think about a vision statement as a church. We hope to show the beauty of Jesus to the heart of Denton and beyond. And I think one of the things that's really important when we think about that statement is we begin to think, that starts with persons. That starts with people. I loved reading through the testimonies of each of these women as they share their story about what they encountered in Mexico, because most of their stories surround individual people. And I think it's really important for us to remember and to think about those that God has put in our life for the spread of the gospel. And so I'm going to turn the microphone over, and as we do, as we hear these stories, it's a celebration, there's high praise, but also let us consider what would it mean for us each individually to live faithfully for the spread of the gospel.
Good morning. My name is Cassandra, and I had the opportunity to be able to go to Mexico, thanks to all of you who supported us on this trip. So I never imagined myself going on mission or even thinking about going on a mission trip. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and we never talked about missionaries or people going out to share the gospel. It wasn't until that I had left the Catholic Church that I met a friend, and she talked to me about her desires for missions. She had talked to me about missionaries who had been martyred, missionaries who had saved the lives of many children from India from prostitution temples, missionaries who had translated books of the Bible in a language they didn't even think of being able to speak, let alone read or write. Those stories that she would share with me really sparked a fire in my heart, and I desired to proclaim the good news to those who had never heard it before, and I wanted to be able to reach to those who were yearning for the Lord. Since then, I have been able to share the gospel with many of my family members, students on campus of TWU and the coworkers that I work with at work. And in that time, the Lord has really taught me a lot about what missions looks like, even like here in Denton in our community, and not necessarily having to go internationally, but here. But what he's taught me was that it is not about me. There have been many times when I would go out and evangelize, when I would think that I would be the one that would lead someone to Christ, when it is really all the power in his word and in his scripture and in the power of the cross and what he did. I came across a quote from a biography on Amy Carmichael called A Chance to Die, which is a really great book. And this quote says, "Thee must never say, thee must never even let thyself think that I had won that soul for Christ." And that really put me in my place when thinking of me doing that work. Another thing that I had learned was, do I have a servant's heart? Am I willing to serve others? This was a question I had gotten from watching a teaching given by a pastor by the name of Paul Washer. He would get asked this question from many college students asking about missions, and he would ask them, do you have a heart that is willing to serve others? Can you do things without grumbling or complaining? And even in the simplest things that we did in Mexico, I kind of had to watch myself and see, like, am I really wanting to just go out and help these people in my own heart, or is that something that I'm, anyways, it's just something that was really hard for me to learn, to be able to die to myself and able to show Christ to other people. And the last thing is just having faith in God and just realizing how much he has proved that from time and time again. And the Lord really showed me through that ministry, the mission work in Mexico, how Jessica, the missionary there, who was willing, had this vision, and the Lord rewarded her with a community of believers. The Lord had really blessed them with a place to be able to meet where they were able to feed the children there and teach them the good works of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for taking me to meet these women and these children. And he has just shown me that whenever I think of them, I know specifically what I can do to pray for them. And during this trip, the Lord has really deepened my faith. He has illuminated the invisible and made things visible to me. Like Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible. So from this trip, I was really reminded of God's faithfulness to his children, whom he never forsakes. And so, again, thank you for supporting us on this trip. Thank you for listening to and what we witnessed the Lord doing. And I really do hope that this brings encouragement to each and every one of you and just vision for future missions of C3.
Hello. Good morning. My name is Chloe. I'm so honored to have been given the opportunity to go to Chihuahua, Mexico with these lovely ladies. Ever since I was in high school, the Lord had laid short-term missions on my heart. And I've been on a couple trips in the States, but I've never been internationally. And I've always been kind of drawn towards Latin American countries. So when the opportunity to go to Mexico came up, I knew that the Lord was calling me to go. So I signed up. We spent months preparing for this trip. But if I'm honest, it was very different than what I had expected. It was a very humbling experience. I've heard about places without running water, but I never really knew what that looked like until we got there. It was very hot. Most people were wearing pants. Some people were even wearing long sleeve shirts, and it's like 100 degrees outside. Children roamed around the community without supervision while other children were still in school. Many buildings were abandoned or left unfinished, while other families were living in shacks that they just kind of pieced together with whatever they could find. So, as you can see, it's quite different than what we are accustomed to here. While we were there, we partnered with Vita Victoriosa, which is a ministry that reaches the women and children of the Cerro Grande community. It provides an after-school tutoring program, a meal, which often most of these kids only get like one meal a day. Some of the younger kids will get a meal at school, but like the older kids, they don't get fed at school. And then she also does Bible studies with the kids and the women, and she disciples the women that are there. It was really incredible just to see how the community came together at the center, and even in the homes that we visited, they were very welcoming. They cooked for us. They had snacks and coffee for us. We got to share our stories with them, and they got to share some of their stories with us, and that was just really cool. It was very evident how much God has provided for them through this ministry. We did a couple different studies on Psalm 23, and it talks about how the Lord provides everything that we need, and that we can find comfort and rest in Him forever. And it is very evident that when you meet the people of the community, that God is their provider, and they are extremely grateful for what they have. I'm beyond thankful to have been part of this experience, to be with them in their environment, to learn how they operate with what they have, the amount of joy that they have, the selfless nature to serve and care for others is amazing. I kind of went to Mexico expecting to encourage them in some way, but I think I'm the one that left encouraged by them. So I'd like to take this encouragement that I've received and encourage you to join us in prayer for the people of Cerro Grande, that they would continue to build a community and hopefully someday a church so that they can reach more than just the women and children, that they can reach men and that they can reach the entire family unit. And also continued prayers for missions here at C3 and the trips, the many trips hopefully that are to come wherever the Lord guides us. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Liz. During the fall semester of 2021, my roommates and I met and became friends with five young women from Afghanistan. These girls were participating in an education program for refugees and were taking English classes at UNT. They lived in host homes, and three of these girls lived with the pastor of our old church and his family. And Cassandra and I took turns taking these students to and from school every day that semester. It was really fun. They were a joy to be around, and we loved getting to know them. One morning was very different from the rest, though. When I came to pick them up, to take them to school, I could tell something was off right away. They came out of the house as a group, slow-footed and downcast. They had the most somber looks that I'd ever seen. I could tell they had been crying, and when they got in the car, I asked them what was wrong, and one girl pulled out her phone and started showing me these images. They were of a school in Afghanistan, a school unrecognizable, as blackened brick and rubble lay where walls once stood. There were more pictures of people lying still in the streets, bodies of classmates, their classmates. We sat in the car for a long while as the girls told me how much they still wanted to go home and how much they wanted to see their families again. I prayed for them and we wept mournfully together. I've never grieved more for the loss of people I never knew. Before that moment, years ago, I had been on mission trips in the States. I had seen poverty and hardship. I've seen grief, but never had I seen a world so different from my own. As I went on my way and attended class and ran errands, I couldn't stop thinking about those images and how much the girls still missed home. When I met them on campus later that afternoon, something had shifted. As we walked back to my car, they danced along the sidewalk, playing music sung in Dari. They started telling me stories of home and showed me pictures of their friends and families. They showed me pictures of the beautiful scenery in Afghanistan. They talked excitedly about school and about possibly going back home someday. I knew then that God was showing me something of his work. The Holy Spirit was present, and from then on, I have deeply desired to see God move in ways I've never seen before. Fast forward to a few weeks ago, memories of my great-grandfather and his stories of Mexico started coming to mind, stories of churches being built and congregations growing. As a missionary, some of his favorite parts of Mexico were the people. He'd talk about thousands coming to hear the gospel for the first time or small moments of spiritual intimacy and prayer with just a few people. When we left for Mexico, I certainly wasn't expecting to see thousands of people trekking through the mountains to hear the gospel in a sermon for the first time, but I was hopeful for those moments of spiritual intimacy. Sure enough, the first thing we did as a team when we arrived in Mexico, before we even had a chance to dump our luggage anywhere, was drive out past the city into Sierra Grande community to pray for one individual, a 16-year-old boy whose father already had been taken by the cartel, was moving away that day to a safer place and for new opportunities to find work. He had a 4-day journey through the mountains ahead of him, and before he left, he wanted someone to pray for him. I thought of that boy often as the week went on. Meeting him allowed me to have my first encounter with the present reality in those mountains, or another world so different from my own, if you will. More and more truths about this world were revealed as time went on and as we met more people, like how rare it was to find a home with a bathroom and a toilet, or when we learned that the recruiting age for the cartel could be as early as 13. A little girl about the age of 5 once took home half of her sandwich after the day at the community center was over. Jessica then told us that some of the children were taught by their parents to only eat a portion of whatever food was given to them so that they could bring home the rest to split amongst their family. One truth worth noting was how hopeful the women involved in the ministry seemed to be. Many of them talked about how they didn't ever think about having any sort of future before meeting Christ. They only worried about how to feed their kids or whether the structure they lived in was stable. Now, they think about the future of their children, hoping they would grow up to be godly men and women. One of my favorite moments happened on our last full day working in the community center. Carolyn, Haley, and I led a Bible study with the mothers and older women in the group, and we talked about Psalm 23 for a while, and near the end of the discussion, I asked them if any of them felt like they were in a valley, similar to David's description of the valley of the shadow of death. I couldn't help but smile at their response because at first they didn't really have one. They sat and thought for a while and they just started shaking their heads. And finally one spoke up and said, "We're not in valleys." We were in a valley before we came here. Before we had faith, before we knew Christ, we were in a valley. We're not in one anymore. God rescued us. And with all these truths, these realities I found of Sierra Grande, they were not in a valley. God was showing me more of his good work then, beyond our role, beyond whatever expectations I had about serving in Mexico on mission or whatever I was supposed to be doing down there. I first got to witness God fulfilling his role as a savior and father. When I came to church the following Sunday and after our trip, JT was teaching over Hebrews chapter 11. The very first verse, divine faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I've heard that verse many times before, but suddenly I was able to draw a connection between the girls we met from Afghanistan, the boy who merely wanted prayer over a future he couldn't yet see, and the women who were no longer walking in the valley of the shadow of death. The only responsibility they had to take on was to have faith in the one most faithful. In faith, they had assurance that there was a future to look to. In faith, these women were looking to something eternal and not temporal. I believe more than anything that this trip for me was to reveal more of God's faithfulness to me. I had longed for and still long for opportunities where I'm able to witness God work in ways I've never seen before. Purely to his delight, he answered my prayer. This trip has left me wanting even more. Whether here or across the globe, I look forward to seeing our good, good Father love on his people.
Hi, I'm Carolyn. I don't feel well equipped for mission trips. I feel inadequate and unprepared. Sometimes I feel sad. Often I feel ineffective. I wish I could come up with really good things to say and do. I have such high hopes for performing grand feats for the Lord. It reminds me of a birthday cake I made for Lauren when she was little, a Barbie cake. I pictured in my mind's eye the beautiful Barbie with the glimmering skirt. It was lovely and perfect. But reality was very different. Barbie's feet stuck out of the bottom, leaving an almost 2-inch gap, which I tried to fill in with icing that was too thick on a cake that was too warm. And the crumbs got in the icing and smeared all over the cake. I tried hiding it with those colored flowery sprinkles. And when that didn't work, I tried putting on pearly sprinkles. But even little Lauren said, it's okay, Mommy. Don't worry. I'm afraid that's what it's going to be like when I go on mission trips. I have great intentions, but poor delivery. But I'm reminded of a little boy who offered his lunch to Jesus, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And it was enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. So I go. I remember that the Lord is my shepherd, which means I'm a sheep. Sheep aren't expected to do much. They wander, they get into trouble, and they're pretty helpless and I think maybe even stupid. But they have one claim to fame. They know their shepherd's voice. And when he calls them, they come running. So when I feel an invitation to go on a mission trip, I go. And I remember that Jesus went on a mission trip to earth. His Father sent him because of how much he loved us. And Jesus loved us and loved his Father, so he went. And I want to be like Jesus, so I go. This summer, I went to Mexico. I found myself in a conversation where women were wanting to know about suicide and what happens after someone dies this way. They didn't know my little brother had tried to kill himself years ago. They didn't know that I had already scoured the scriptures and read articles and listened intently to everything I could find about suicide. They didn't know that the Lord had spent time with me, calming my heart, showing me how gentle and kind and loving and good he is, and how his character never changes. So I told them what the Lord had shown me and what the scriptures say. And they asked about cremation and life after death. They didn't know I had spent weeks wrestling with these things. So I shared what I learned from others and what the scriptures say. And they asked about the Trinity. And they didn't know I had spent months delighting in the Trinity. Shout out to Michael Reeves. So I shared what I had learned and experienced and what the scriptures say. And when Liz asked the women's Bible study about our shadow valleys, two of the lovely women each affirmed that they don't have valleys that dark since they've found Jesus. And then there was a quietness where no one talked. They didn't know my heart has been breaking over dysfunctional family relationships. They didn't know I've already tried to fix and solve and pray and plead and forgive and accept and listen and trust. They didn't know that Jesus has been my constant companion and ever-present help in time of trouble. So I shared what I'm learning. I don't remember my words. I don't know if I shared how much you all have loved me through my own shadow valleys, how my parish has prayed with me and encouraged me, how your faithfulness and resilience and bravery in coming Sunday after Sunday speaks to my soul. Through God's word, through God's song, through smiles, through tears, through communion, through prayer. I don't know what I said, but I know I shared my heart. And I didn't know that our translator's shadow valley was very similar to mine until she broke down in tears and shared her heart. And the other women comforted her with compassionate eyes and affirming nods and plenty of tissues. And then she smiled. She wasn't alone anymore. And we all prayed Psalm 23, and we encouraged each other at how good our Lord is and how he provides and protects and defends and lavishes and refreshes us. He is the one on mission. We get invited to join him. We get to see him at work and participate with him as he comforts, connects, builds up, sets free, loves. It's not about what I can do or what you can do. It's about our willingness to share who we are and what we've been given, whether it's across the room or across the globe.
Hi, I'm Haley. I'm still trying to forget about the health problems I had prior to leaving on the trip, during the trip, and even after the trip. It was not fun to deal with, but I didn't let it stop me from doing the Lord's work. And just to share a bit of backstory, I grew up in church, and I started doing missions at a very early age with my family. My mom was a fluent Spanish professor at the university, and she combined her love of God and her knowledge of Spanish to minister to Hispanic communities in South Texas, right here in Denton, and even in Peru. In fact, the last trip I ever took with my mom was a mission trip to visit a friend's daughter who was a missionary in Peru. That trip was an amazing experience for me. But my mom, who had been battling cancer for 7 years, passed away just a few weeks later. For weeks, I was upset and angry with God for taking my mom. I couldn't understand how, if he loved me, he would take my mom away from me. And when my youth group would sing How He Loves at our Wednesday night meetings, I would cry in anger. After prayer and the knowledge of the Bible, and my knowledge of the Bible, one day I realized that God has a plan for everything. The very next time I sang How He Loves, I cried out in joy, knowing that it wasn't because he didn't love me that he took my mom, but it was because he loved her so much that he wanted to end her suffering and have her in heaven with him. I say all of this to give you an understanding of why this trip to Mexico was so important to me. I lost my love for missions when I lost my mom, but I stand here today to share that with the support and prayers of family and friends, I answered the Lord's call to return to missions, remembering that God loves me. If the Lord can bring me out of the hardest time in my life, then my fear of returning to missions was nothing compared to God's love. I know the Lord was with me the entire time, and I could feel my mom's presence as well. I could feel her watching over me. It felt so good to follow in her footsteps and be back on missions. I got to minister to the people of Cerro Grande community and to hear their stories while also sharing my own story. Seeing the mission that Jessica has started was so amazing, and her story of how it came to be was definitely eye-opening. I enjoyed meeting the kids that she works with at her center, and I was surprised at how interactive each of the kids were, even the older teenage boys. Watching each of them do the craft of coloring an outline of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace on a canvas bag for them to put prayers in was really fun, and knowing that they will be able to use them and remember the story we told makes me joyful. On our last day at the center, we did a Bible study with the women, and I got to share my testimony and how prayer has really helped me through a difficult time. I shared about how the Lord pulled me away from a world I had created in my mind to escape reality, and started praying and talking to God. I encouraged them to do the same anytime, anywhere, and about anything. I also enjoyed hearing Carolyn share part of her story, which brought our translator to tears. The translator later shared her story, which was almost exactly the same as Carolyn's. Hearing that both had been through the same experiences brought me to tears, because in that moment I realized that we were all called there for a reason, and I knew that Carolyn was there to meet this woman. After I shared my thoughts with Carolyn, she spoke encouraging words over me about my mom. Carolyn and her family used to attend the church I grew up in, and she knew my mom. She mentioned how my mom would have been so proud of me and the woman that I was becoming, and how she was watching over me from heaven. It felt so good to hear those words from her. The overall trip was an amazing experience for me, and I'm proud to say that I have regained my love for missions, and I can't wait for the next trip.
Hi, my name is Melanie, and first of all, I just want to thank you all for your support over this trip. This church's faithfulness has been so apparent in your giving and your prayer and your love as we prepared to go over these past couple of months. As I was figuring out what I wanted to say up here, I knew that I wanted to be able to bring something back for all of you, so I brought back the story of Linda, and her name has been changed for anonymity's sake. Linda was one of the women in the neighborhood who was an active member of the community center that Jessica runs. We got to know Linda over coffee and pastries at her house on the last non-travel day of our trip. Linda was 26, living in a two-bedroom house with her two kids, age 7, 4, her husband, and a brand new baby. Now, Linda wasn't able to go to any of our Bible studies because the new baby kept her at her house, but by being in her home, we were able to talk with her and get to know her a little more personally. While we were spending time with her in her house, a couple of us were able to share our testimonies and ask questions. We talked about what her husband did for work, how the baby was doing, and a little bit of her life story. After a few of us had shared our testimonies, we were able to ask Linda in semi-broken Spanish, ¿Y usted tiene una historia de Dios? And you, do you have a story of God? One thing I really liked about Linda is that she was not afraid to talk, and she could just talk your ear off all day. She knew exactly what story she wanted to tell without having to think too much. And she told us the story of her first baby. Now, if you did the math, Linda was pretty young when she had her baby, either 18 or 19. She'd been fallen in love when she was 15, so she was already married, but still she was really young. While that baby was still an infant, they learned that he had asthma. He would have really bad asthma attacks that kept him in the hospital. And one of those times, he was in the ICU for about a week. He was put on a ventilator and was hooked to a machine that would help him breathe and was pretty much the only thing keeping him alive. For that whole week, Linda and her husband could only see him for a combined total of 20 minutes a day. The doctors were really strict about who they would let in the room, so they would have to divide the time, 10 minutes for her husband and 10 minutes for her. She said that most days her husband couldn't even stand to be in the room for those full 10 minutes because he would just break down and have to excuse himself seeing his baby full of tubes. She said that every day as they were leaving the hospital, she would excuse herself to go to the bathroom. She saw how much her husband was hurting, and she felt that she needed to be strong in front of him if they were ever going to be able to make it through it. She felt that she needed to be a pillar that he could lean on. So every day when she went to the bathroom, she would go there just to cry where her husband couldn't see. She would let out her feelings, get up, wash her face, and then just go home, waiting for the next day when she could see her baby again. Now, at this time, Linda did believe in God, and during one of those times that she was crying, she just felt desperate and didn't know what to do. She prayed that the Lord would heal her son, and she didn't give many details of this prayer, but I can just picture her, an 18-year-old girl on a hospital bathroom crying that her newborn infant son can live. And then after that, after crying and begging and pleading, she just has to get up, wash her face, and go home. Well, after that prayer, the Lord did a miracle, and he did heal her son. Not only did he heal her son, but overnight, he actually pulled the tubes out of himself. She said that at that minute, at that moment, she knew that God was real and that he was protecting her and her son. Since then, her son still does have asthma, but he doesn't have the same kind of attacks as he did before. In fact, he doesn't even have an inhaler or anything because it's just so mild. So the Lord not only healed her son, but he healed him beyond what she was asking. This story is incredible, and I loved being able to hear it straight from Linda. Many of the people in the neighborhood had similar stories of faith in the Lord's protection. During one of the Bible studies with the kids, we asked them about a time when they needed the Lord's protection, and every single kid had a story about how they broke their leg and needed the Lord's protection, or were inexplicably sick as an infant and almost died, or just some other random health issue or problem that the Lord delivered them from. So now I have a question for you. What do you think of when you hear the word missions? When I was a kid, I maybe would have thought of being a spy, of going on an assignment from headquarters and going on a crazy adventure to save the world. But as an adult, I think of going to another country and spreading the gospel there. Now, I've never personally felt very called to be a long-term missionary, and even going on this trip took a lot of prayer and a little convincing from those around me. But I do feel like the Lord was teaching me during our time there. And funnily enough, what he was teaching me is, you don't have to go to some far-off land to be a missionary. It's easy to think that our mission field is in another country or another state, but the truth is that your mission field is wherever you are. I want to encourage those of you who, for one reason or another, can't go to live in another country for a year, a month, or even a week. The Great Commission in Matthew says, therefore, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So many people read that and think that they have to go to another country to make disciples of the nations, but what I feel like the Lord was putting in my heart is America not a nation, and is Denton not a mission field? Like, yes, absolutely, go where the Lord is calling you. Go to Mozambique or Chihuahua or Afghanistan, but for many of us, the Lord is calling us to be on mission right here in Denton. There are people around us who don't know the Lord and need to hear your stories and who need to hear the good news about Jesus. Real missional relationships happen in everyday life. So invite that coworker to go get coffee, or introduce your friends to parish or Sunday morning service or worship nights or whatever it is that you're doing. You can bring others into that. You don't have to be in another country to do that. And I know so many of you in this church who have similar stories to Linda, similar stories of encouragement and grit and miracles, who have faced the odds and come out the other side strictly because of the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy. Those stories can and should be shared right here. So for those of us who don't feel called to go overseas or who just can't, I just want to leave this encouraging word. Live your life on mission and recognize that the life you are living is the mission. If you're unable to go to another country long term, maybe you have kids or a job that you just can't get away from, I'm here to tell you that your life is your mission, regardless of where you are. So be intentional with your time on this earth. The Lord has put you here and now in the Denton area for one reason or another, and we can be spreading the gospel to anyone we're around. So in a way, that childhood idea of a mission doesn't have to change when we're older. We've been given an assignment from headquarters to go on a crazy adventure to save the world. We've been given a calling by the Lord, and your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to go and share the good news with everyone around you. So go tell it on the mountain, go tell it at work, go tell it to your kids, and tell it to anyone and everyone you can, because Jesus saves. Thank you all for your support.